Left, you have one that's made in China, it's worth $200. It's actually really good, but my pride would not allow me to go with that one because it just doesn't have the clout, you know? The middle one is the made in USA version, about $1,500. A little better materials, a little better workmanship. Some say it sounds a little better, but to the untrained ear, it probably sounds exactly the same. I don't think it's $1,300 better, but anyway, it has the clout to it. And then on the far right, there's one that went at auction for $100,000. That's a house, you know?
And a car, too.
The reason, yeah, really. The reason the one on the right went for so much money is because, not because it's an awesome, better materials or better sound or anything like that. It was because of the hands that played it. That was a bass that was played by John Entwistle of The Who, famous band in the old days there, right? Who? Yeah. You can Google that. There's lots of stuff like this online. If you start Googling like how expensive an instrument was, if it was played by a famous guy, a Jerry Garcia guitar from the Grateful Dead, just went for $1.9 million at an auction. So, but even in that case, his guitar was like super custom made and everything. It might be worth $4,000. It's not worth $1.9 million, but because of the hands that played it. So the tools, as I said, it's valuable to have a good tool in your hands. But what's even more valuable is the right hands to play it. Now, I'm going to be referring to a bunch of different scriptures today. I'm only going to put one of them up on the screen. Romans 6:13, offer yourselves to God as an instrument of righteousness. See, I was thinking about bass guitars and stuff, and the other day I was asking the Lord, do I think about this too much? Do you do that? Your hobby, you're thinking about guns all the time or whatever it is you're into. I was asking the Lord, okay, Lord, am I thinking about this too much? Is this like a god to me or something? And like, I'll lay it down, you know, I'll try not to think about it. But I felt like he said, keep thinking about it. See where it leads. And it led me to this great spiritual application that we are the instruments. We are the tools in God's hands. And I want to share some observations about that I think you'll be able to find meaning in for your life today. So, in God's hands, ordinary people, like that ordinary bass guitar, we take on extraordinary value because of the hands that play us. And I think Ray kind of prepared nicely with what he said in worship, because, you know, if worship really is us yielding ourselves to Him and letting Him play us. Play my life, Lord. Here I am. So, I'm going to call this Put Your Life in His Hands, and I'm going to give you several different applications of this, but the point's always the same. Put your life in His hands. Can you say it with me? Put your life in His hands. I don't usually have people say stuff because it seems so stupid, but I did it that time. I don't know why. Maybe it helps you remember. When you put your life in God's hands, you're putting your life in the hands that made you. This is very important. You see a picture there of a master guitar builder handcrafting a guitar. And you need to know, you know, there's a lot of identity confusion going on in our culture today. A lot of questions of who we are, what our identity is. And this is the place to go. Who am I, Lord? Who did you make me to be? What did you make me out of? Isaiah 64:8 says, all of us are the work of your hand. We, each of us, are custom made by the master builder, and he doesn't build junk. And he always has a design in mind. I'm going to build it this way because it's going to be used for this purpose. You know, every guitar has a particular kind of music that it's particularly good at. That type of thing. So I'm going to ask my assistant, Mr. Andy, if you'd come up at this time. That the guitar's over there. We're going to do a couple different demonstrations throughout the morning here on the floor over there. This first one, I'm sure, will get you going. Come right out front and center here, buddy. This is something I did years ago, but I haven't done it in a long time, so I thought it was time. Nice guitar here, right? But it also works as a cheese slicer. Look at that. Look at that. Very nice. Only leaves a little residue on the strings. So, all right, thank you. You may put that away. That's identity confusion. Demonstrated. A guitar that doesn't know it's meant to make music. Yes, you can cut cheese on guitar strings. But why would you do that when you can use a little knife that's meant for that and use the guitar to make music? God knows what we're meant to do. If you go to him and put your life in his hands, he's not going to cut cheese with you. He's going to make beautiful music with your life. You can trust him. I tried to not say that, but you said it for me. An example in the Bible of this is Gideon in Judges 6. You know, they're living in a climate of terrorism and fear, and God appears to Gideon and says, "Hey, almighty warrior." And he's hiding out for his life. And he's like, I'm from the least family in the country. And I'm the weakest one in my whole family. Why are you calling me mighty warrior? He did not have the identity in mind of who he was. But God knew that he was going to be the next military leader that was going to crush the enemy. And I had an interesting thing I learned the other day as I'm studying about wood and what woods they make guitars out of, I thought of how much lesson there is in our identity with this. This one is a bass of mine that is made out of koa wood, which only grows in Hawaii. And it's really pretty, and it's a good tone wood for making instruments out of. They make ukuleles out of that, actually. But when I researched that, I felt like God was telling me, it's okay to listen, to read about this. It's okay. See where it leads. So I read about koa wood, because I'm thinking, should I have a bass that's made out of some other kind of wood? Because koa wood's a little denser than some woods. It produces a little more aggressive tone. Some of the lighter woods maybe have more resonance to them, maybe produce a warmer tone. Like, I was thinking about this. I don't know. You guys think about stuff like that with guns and stuff, so... That is just what I think about in my spare time. Anyway, I read about koa wood, and I found out this is the kind of wood that they made their canoes with in Hawaii, and they made their weapons with when they went to war. And the word koa means warrior. And I almost felt like God is saying, you think you're like some soft, resonant wood that makes this warm tone with your life? He said, what if I was to tell you, you're made out of warrior wood? What if that's what I was going to tell you, who your identity is? So God can tell you what you're made of because he made you. Now, I love the example of David. He's one guy who did know who he was. He had a strong sense of identity. And I love the example in, I think it's 1 Samuel 17, when he goes to fight Goliath and King Saul says, okay, before you go fight this warrior, since you're just a shepherd boy, put this armor on. And he puts the armor on, and he's walking around, and he said, I'm not used to this stuff. This isn't me. And he takes it off. He says, tell you what is me, a slingshot and some stones. That I can work with. That's who God made me to be. And I love the confidence he has in who he is in God. So, the hands that made us, that's the hands we need to put ourselves in. He will tell you who you are. Here's another area to look at. Put your life in God's hands. You're putting your life in the hands that saved us. The nail-scarred hands. You can trust those hands. That base that I just showed you, that was stolen a few years back. Miraculously recovered, found in the trunk of a car in a barn somewhere. And, you know, I had given up on it. It had been a long time. I had all the paperwork filled out for the insurance company to get a new base and stuff, and got the call. Come to Warsaw. Come to this claim your stolen goods thing. So that picture up there is just what I would call a beater guitar from a pawn shop. Somebody took this, I don't know, I'm guessing maybe someone stole it for drug money or something, I don't know, pawned it off. This thing has been through some stuff. You can tell it's got, the finish has been stripped off it. It's got stickers all over it. Someone cut it apart and put different pickups in there and stuff. And, you know, there's some sad looking things out there that have been stolen. But did you know that we've been stolen? Back in Adam and Eve's time, they belonged to God. He made them. They knew their identity in him. And they sold that. And they followed the enemy. They gave themselves into the enemy's hands to be played by him. And it wasn't until Jesus, with those nail-scarred hands, that blood price was paid. It was like Jesus went into the dark side of town and found that scummy pawn shop, and he rummaged through there and found in the corner this busted guitar that had stickers all over it and was, you know, misused and broken, dusty. And he said, "That is a classic guitar. I'm going to spend everything I've got to buy that because I can fix it up and make it better than it was. Better, faster, stronger." $6 million man. Just, it came back to my mind there. I'm sorry. I keep having culture glitches from my past. I think of Paul when I think of this idea in Acts 9. You know, he was totally sold out to the enemy. Didn't even know it. Totally going the wrong direction in life. Jesus appeared to him and said, "I want you to be mine." And his life changed. In Acts 9, God calls Paul his chosen instrument to reach the Gentiles. "I made you, Paul. I'm the guitar builder that made you. I know what song you're supposed to be playing. I know what kind of music you're supposed to be playing. And you're in the pawn shop right now, buddy. I'm buying you back. And I'm going to use you. I'm going to fix you up, and I'm going to use you for my glory, for the song that you were made to play." And Paul later wrote these words in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, "You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." We present our bodies to him. We present our lives to him. We say, "We are yours. Not only because you made us, but because you bought us back with your own blood." When you put your life in his hands, you're also putting your life in the hands that heal us. That guitar I showed you a minute ago, that's going to take some healing. That's going to take the craftsman back in his shop. He's going to have to scrape the stickers off, get some goo gone on there. He's going to have to work with it. He's going to have to take those pickups off, whatever they were that they put on there, get the right pickups back in there. Wants to restore it, right? Wants to paint it like it was supposed to look. God is always doing this kind of work in our lives. Here's a picture of some of the various pieces of hardware and electronics and things that are involved in guitar making. I believe right downstairs right now, Henry, who played bass this morning, has a bass down there that's not working. And Can't figure out what it is. It's a beautiful bass. It's made out of great wood. There's nothing wrong with this bass. But it's not working right now. It can't make any music. And how many times in our lives we get broken in some way and we can't make the music God intended us to make. Something's wrong. Like this bass back here. This has a knob on it that's all loose. And because I was using it when the knob was loose, underneath this little tiny wire came unsoldered eventually because of, you know, back and forth turning the knob. Little things like that totally disable the thing. We have little wires in us that have been broken, whether through, you know, wear and tear of life or whatever. And our lives aren't making the music God intended them to make. We need repair. Sometimes we just need to upgrade. That bass I just showed you, that's known for its pickups produce a little bit of electronic hum, background noise sometimes. And so I upgraded the pickups in that so that they don't do that. And sometimes maybe you're not broken, maybe you're working pretty well, but maybe God is saying, put yourself in my hands because I have an upgrade for you. You're going to be more effective than ever because I want to upgrade something in your life. I love the healing hands that we see in the Gospels when Jesus walks around healing people. Here's one example from Matthew 8. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Nobody's willing to touch a person with leprosy. But Jesus reached out his hand, his healing hand, and he touched the man and said, I am willing. Be clean. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. That's the kind of healing hands we're putting ourselves in. I mentioned David earlier. And David, you know, as we've known him as a great shepherd, a great warrior, great king, we also remember his great fall. And you know, he committed adultery and arranged for the other guy, the husband of the lady, to be murdered. Terrible fall in his life. God had worked on him for years, and he still had something wrong in his heart and mind, and God just never finished working on us. There's a maintenance process always in us. I think it's interesting, though, that at his fall, he knew what was happening. He said, create in me, Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Clean me up, Lord. Restore me, renew me. He knew that he needed that, and he presented his life to God, and guess what? God fixed him up, and God made him able to continue to be. That could have wiped him out. That could have wiped his kingdom out. That could have wiped his legacy out forever. God enabled him to keep going and become a great king. And I'll just mention this. I think this is really interesting. In the class we had, the men's class we had back in January, February, Fathered by God, there was just a passing reference to this, to David's childhood. When Samuel came to anoint him as king, all Samuel knew was he was going to anoint one of Jesse's sons. And Jesse had a whole bunch of sons. And Jesse paraded all the sons before him. And Samuel was like, okay, God, is that the one? Is that the one? No, no. Man, that looks like a good king. No, no. He kept getting to know. And so he got, is this everybody? And Jesse said, well, there is one out there watching the sheep. And in that video series, they said that the Hebrew word that the father used, David's father used for him, when he said, I think the translation is, the youngest one out there watching the sheep. But the Hebrew word can actually mean worthless one. And I had never heard that before. And it's not translated that way in the Bibles I've seen. But when you look up that Hebrew word, it has kind of a youngest, weakest, least feel to it. And this teacher was saying that it really effectively was a father wound that was being dealt to him. This David, this great warrior, grew up with a dad who thought he was worthless. Think about that. Carry that through your life. Become the greatest shepherd who kills the lion, who kills the bear, who does everything your dad asks you to do. Your dad's still not pleased with you. Go to war. Kill the enemy. Become famous in the whole country for your great heroism. Become the king. Someday, that father wound's going to catch up with you. Something's busted inside, and it ended up coming out. But God knows. He made you. He knows what's going on inside of you, and He knows how to heal those things. Hello? It's not going. Next, please. If you put your life in His hands, you're putting your life in the hands that plug us in. Now, I think about one guitar story that's a guitar unplugged. Is the guitar that Josh got from his wife's grandpa, right? I guess probably for years this guitar was underneath his bed, and one day he just said, "Hey, you want this guitar?" And Josh is like, "Yeah, sure, sure, that'd be great, thanks. This is awesome." It's an awesome guitar. It was just sitting there, not plugged in. It was made out of good wood. You know, it wasn't like it was all broken or anything. But it wasn't being used. It wasn't plugged in. It's a shame. It was meant to be plugged in and used. And what you're plugged into matters, too. And I want to demonstrate that. If my assistant would come back, we're gonna use the bass here. What I'm going to do here is plug Andy with the bass into this little amp. Okay. Is the piano mic off? Turn the piano mic off. Because I think it's affecting the sound a lot. Okay, try it. This is a little amp and it produces pretty strong sound, doesn't it? Okay, well, we're going to compare that to... That was better than I thought it would be. But let's put it into the whole system now. We have a little more earth-shaking power. I feel the stage... Okay, thank you. So it makes a difference whether you're plugged into that amp, which is pretty good, or the full system, which has more power to it. And, you know, God knows how to plug us into the right role at the right time. There's an example in the book of Ezra where it says in chapter 7, it says that he succeeded because the hand of the Lord, his God, was upon him. I mean, he was a talented guy. I'm sure he was a good worker and everything, but the success of his life was determined by the fact that it was the hand of the Lord who put him in that place, at that time, in that role. That was what he was designed and made to do. I remember something my dad said to me. He might have said it only once, I don't know, but it feels like he said it to me all the time. But it resounds in my mind. He said, "What are we going to do with you?" Might tell you a little bit of what kind of kid I was. I don't know. He wasn't angry. "Oh, what am I going to do with you?" He was just like mystified. Of what kind of job I would ever get, I guess. I don't know. Who are you? I had this the other day with one of my kids, and that phrase came back to my mind, and I almost said it. What are we going to do with you? thankfully, I've had some more Bible training and stuff than my dad had, so I was able to shift it, and I was able to say, God's got some really great plans for you. I don't know what they are. One example is in the Bible is Peter. Rough, gruff fisherman. Pretty much a jerk, I would say, but Jesus saw something in that guy. And he worked with him for years. And even in the end, it looked like it was all going south because he ended up saying, I'm just going back to fishing. But in the end, when the Holy Spirit fell, and he got connected and plugged in to the power of God flowing through him, and he got connected to his purpose and his calling, he started to become a great preacher and leader of the church that day, the day of Pentecost. He got plugged into God's power, purpose, and calling. And that's what we need. I didn't really have one handy, but if I were to plug that bass into a guitar amp, it would sound all tinny and wimpy and stuff. You know, if you plugged this guitar that Josh was playing this morning, if you plug that straight into the amp, it sounds kind of bland. If you plug it through all these cool pedals and stuff, it sounds really cool. God knows what to plug us into. And here's another one, hands that tune us. I'll need my assistant again on this one. You know that guitars get out of tune just from being used, and the strings are moving around, and you got to check the tuning. Also, sometimes the weather conditions, humidity and stuff affects it. I went to a funeral a few months ago, and the guitar in the back of the car driving to, it was in Bradford, and it was a snow rainstorm day. It's like right on 32, you know? So it was snowing, roads were slippery. Then it's turned into rain, and it was raining. I ran into the funeral home. It's all hot in there because it's filled with people and stuff. And I went to tune it and was like, whoa, this thing's way out. And I got it tuned up. Then when the actual service came and I strap it on, I'm ready. I don't know. It's like, oh, it's still not adjusted to the room. It's still not ready. It's still out of tune. And yeah, it doesn't sound good. Let's show you what it sounds like. Give us just a something normal. Okay. Sounds fine, right? How about if we just tweak one of these babies? That was just a little bit of one string. Okay, there's a little bit of three strings. That's horrible. This is a great guitar. This is made out of probably alder or poplar. That's an awesome resonant tone wood right there. This thing has got these awesome single coil pickups on. Everything's working. It's got new strings on it. What's wrong, Lord? You're not in tune. Thank you. And we have this little box here that tells you if you're in tune or not. So sometimes you'll see us in between songs even, or in the middle of a song going like, okay. Because we need to check this constantly. I got a little tuner clipped on the bass over here too. We're constantly watching to see if we're in tune, and that's what we should be doing in our lives too. And one thing you can do as you put your life in God's hands is say, here I am, Lord, again. Once again, for the fifth time this afternoon, I feel like a little out of tune here. I loved what John did with his class this morning when he came in and he started the class by being in the wrong spot that the teacher's not usually in the back of the room, and he's facing the wrong direction. He He showed us that being in the right place is important, but also being turned in the right direction is important. If I did my sermon like this, it wouldn't be too great. So you don't want to look at that all day. There's a verse in Proverbs 21. It says, "A king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes." And God can turn our heart, just like those tuning keys need to be turned. He can turn our mind. The word repentance often is explained as turning. It means to change and go a different direction. And there needs to be a turning in our hearts, whether we're like way off, whoa, I'm totally going the wrong direction, I need a big turn. Or if I'm just like John said in class this morning, I might be in the right place, exactly where God wants me, but if I'm like this, it's kind of weird. So sometimes he just needs to tune just a little something in our heart or in our mind, the way we think about something. I love the story of Elijah. It's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. 1 Kings 19, he has that great battle with the prophets of Baal, and after, he has this great spiritual victory, and after it, he flees for his life and feels like he's done. He's just totally burnt out after that whole thing. And when the way I look at it, he was just way out of tune. He had been like, been played big time for that victory. And when he came out of it, he was like, whoa, I'm out of tune. And I love how God meets him, and he lets him get some rest, some physical rest, some physical food and drink he gives him to replenish him after that big battle. And then he takes him to that mountain where, remember Earth, Wind, and Fire? Remember that band? There's an earthquake, there's a windstorm, and there's a fire, and God's not in any of those, but then there's that still small voice, that whisper. And it's in that moment, I feel like God, through that whole process, was tuning Elijah back in to that whisper. To that whisper. And I don't know what God needs to do with us sometimes to get us tuned in to his voice. Sometimes reading the Bible, it can just totally tune you in. Sometimes worship can totally tune you in, or prayer, or like we talked about in class this morning, sometimes fasting helps turn your attention back to God better. Giving something up. There's probably different ways to do it. Sometimes you need to just take a break, take time out, take some quiet time to be with him. I know Jesus often went away to a lonely place, it says, to pray and be with the Father. And that's where he got his tuning from. He tuned in to God and said, what am I supposed to do now? And he said, I only do what the Father shows me to do. And so he better get away so he can hear what the Father's telling him to do next. And it was like that with Elijah, because he came out of that experience of getting back tuned back into God's whisper. And he had a completely new chapter of his life start. He said, God told him, you know what? The next thing, you're going to get an apprentice and you're going to start a whole new phase of your ministry. So we need to get away. Sometimes we need to take time out. Like when you start a song and it doesn't sound right, just take a second, hit the tuner, and get tuned up before you do it. Like at that funeral, I didn't have a tuner with me, and that one string was still just a little out, but I felt really embarrassed when there was like all these people waiting for me to start the song. Excuse me. Sorry. And I did that for a couple seconds, but after a while I was like, that's good enough. I got to play the song. I feel too embarrassed to sit here tuning all day without a tuner. And anyway, I played it. It wasn't very good. So we need to do that. We need to put ourselves in his hands and say, I just need a tuning. I'm not broken. I just need a tuning. And the last one I'm going to mention this morning is put your hands in the hands that play us. You know, this is really the whole purpose of the whole thing. All the stuff I talked about before was just leading up to this. Why did he make us to begin with? Why did he redeem us to begin with? Why did he spend all this time fixing us and working on us and keeping us in tune and trying to get us plugged in the right place. It's so that he can play our lives and wonderful music can come out and bless people. I thought of the example of to explain what it means to glorify God, because that's really the purpose we're talking about. I don't know if I have it in front of me. I don't think I do. But that's our purpose, basically, is to glorify him. And Ray even said in the word he shared, God's not like conceited, saying, okay, I'm going to make this guy here, and he's going to glorify me because I'm so awesome. That's not really what the attitude of God asking us to glorify him. That's our purpose. Your purpose is to glorify me. He's not like us. He doesn't have that kind of ego problem. What he's really saying is, your purpose is to make music. You're never going to be satisfied cutting cheese. Your purpose is to make music. That's what glorifying him really is. It's our life being in total harmony, things being right. If we have someone else, something else playing our lives, it's not going to sound right, because he's the master musician. Put yourself in the hands of your job or your career, and that starts playing you, that's ugly. Put yourself in the hands of others and what other people think and what other people want from you, that's not going to sound good. Put your life in the hands of, you know, my addictions, my desires, give me that to play me, that's what starts playing me. I'm not making good music. Put your hands in your life in his hands, and you will. Your life makes music. That's the only way our life does make music, is if we're in his hands. There's a verse from Daniel 5 where Daniel says, you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see, hear, or understand, but the God in whose hand are your life, breath, and all your ways you have not glorified. That's our purpose, to glorify him, not all the other stuff. But glorifying him doesn't glorify us. So maybe that's why we don't want to do it. I was thinking of, think of any great guitar player, like Jimi Hendrix is often thought of as one of the greatest guitar players. Eric Clapton. Actually, both of those guys played a Fender Stratocaster. Now, I care about that, but your average person doesn't say, Fender Stratocaster, Fender. The average person is listening to these guys playing and saying, who cares what kind of guitar it is? That guy's awesome. I love this song. That guy's the best guitar player I ever heard. The glory goes to the person playing it, not to the guitar. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're a guitar geek like me, then you're kind of interested in what they're playing. But basically, the glory goes to the one playing it. And I love John the Baptist's response in John 3 when his followers start to follow Jesus and they say, hey, you're not so popular anymore, John. What are you going to do? And he says, that's okay. He must increase. I must decrease. I did my job. I did my job. All the attention's going to him. I did the job. If all the attention's going to him with your life, you're doing your job. Jesus even said that. Like I mentioned earlier, he did only what the Father was doing. He said only what the Father was saying. He didn't want the glory for himself. He said, not my will, but your will be done. And when it came down to the cross, he said, Father, I don't want to do this. But glorify your name. Glorify your name. He said, now is the time to be glorified. And he went on the cross. For him to be glorified in our lives, maybe not glorious for us. Sometimes he asks us to play a song of sacrifice, but he is glorified in that. Our lives are beautiful. Do we look back at Jesus and say, man, he was so selfish and stupid. Why did he do that? We look back at him and say, he was awesome that he gave up his life. People who hold on to their lives and try to do what they want, they don't end up so well. People who give it away, surrender their lives into God's hands, turns out good in the end. And I just want to say one more thing about this. It's the one whose hands that you're in who gets to determine what song you're playing. Now, if you're a carpenter, hopefully he's playing a song through you, through your life, of integrity in your workmanship. You can be trusted to, you know, to do a good job and to charge a fair price, that type of thing. That's the kind of song he's doing through a good carpenter. A good car repairman is hard to find. One you can trust. Not to say, oh, I also found this problem. Isn't it great when you find someone you can trust? That is a song that glorifies God. The song of your life glorifies him. How about a stay-at-home mom who decides, I'm going to sacrifice myself to pour into my kids and to train them right, to love on them, discipline them, show them the right way. That is an amazing song. That sounds really good, that life song. That glorifies God. I don't know what your song is, but you need to put yourself in his hands to find out. And you need to not say, I don't like the song you're playing with me. Can you imagine tools that talk back to you? They say, I'm not putting myself in that hand. Oh, no. Yet God gave us that choice. We don't have to put ourselves in his hand. We don't have to like how he made us. We don't have to let him fix us. We don't have to let him save us out of the junk heap. We don't have to let him play nice music through us. We can sit around in the corner cutting cheese if we want to with the devil. But he's got an amazing design for you. He's got an amazing song he wants to play through your life. And songs even change. I'll say this, because some people, when you get to a different part of your life, you're like, what's going on now, Lord? And there are times when he puts the guitar on the shelf and people just get to see what a beautiful guitar it is. There are times when that guitar is in the repair shop or whatever. But there's times when he says, that song is over. I'm playing a new song now. And you don't know the song. The guitar doesn't even have to know the song. It's the master who knows the song. You don't know where your life is headed. He knows. He's playing it. He wrote the song. He knows how to play it. He's not going to fail. He's never going to let you down, like we sang earlier. So anybody who is in a transition time, you might be starting a new song. But if it's him who's playing it, it's going to be good. I'd like us to stand in closing, and if we could have a guitar in the background playing, I think that would be appropriate. If you would stand with us, we'll just, can we just do, not all of you probably will wholeheartedly want to do this, but could we just do what I've been talking about and put our life in his hands this morning? Maybe some of you will do that. Sorry, you have to get tuned first, because I wrecked his tuning. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for anyone this morning who has any confusion about who they are. I just pray they would put their life in your hands today, and that they would be assured this morning that they are handcrafted by God, that they are designed for a purpose. And that you would begin speaking to them of who they are and what you've made them out of and what you're making them to be. I pray for anyone today, Lord, who feels like they've been stolen and they're sitting there in the pawn shop or something and they don't even know who they belong to anymore. And they've been probably messed around and beaten up. I ask, Lord, today that that those people would put themselves in your hands. In the nail-scarred hands that bought them back from that pawn shop with the price of his own blood, that they would put themselves in his hands and they would say, "Fix me, Lord. I'm yours now. I'm not my own. I was bought with a price." I pray for anyone who feels that brokenness this morning, who feels frustrated. Why isn't my life making music? Why am I ineffective? What is that broken wire? What is that thing that's so broken in me that hinders me so much? Put your hands, put your life in his hands, and he's the one who made you. He knows exactly what's wrong. He knows exactly how to heal and restore you. He can upgrade you if you need anything. Put yourself in his hands today, and he will work a good work in your heart and life today. Anyone who feels like they're unplugged or plugged in the wrong place or something, asking, "Where do I belong, Lord?" Put your life in his hands this morning. Only he knows the perfect thing to plug you into, your true calling, your true purpose. Let him plug you into his power, his calling, his purpose. If you feel maybe pretty good, but maybe just a little out of tune in some way, not sure what's quite slightly off, just put yourself in his hands today and ask him to tune you. Tune me, Lord. Get me back in tune with your voice, with your purposes. Adjust any little thing, tweak any little thing in the way I'm looking at things, the way I'm thinking about things, the way I'm feeling. Turn those thoughts and emotions and things into alignment with your tuning, Lord. And anyone who feels like they put themselves in the wrong hands, they haven't let God make music with their lives, they haven't glorified him with their lives, they put their lives in the hands of their job or their addiction or relationship or whatever, if you would surrender to him today. Say, "What am I doing? I belong in your hands, Lord. Again, I place my life in your hands, that you would play your song through me, even if it's a new song, a different song, and I don't know where you're going with me, Lord. I put myself in your hands." So many different things that we could be suffering from, be troubled by. And the answer to all of them is simply to surrender ourselves into his hands. And we do that today, Lord. Surrender our lives afresh into your hands. We ask you to fix us. We ask you to heal us, tune us, plug us in where we should be, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that our lives would make wonderful music for your glory. That we would not hold back. That we would not turn the volume down. You told us to go into all the world and preach the good news. We pray this week as people go into the various places you're plugging them into, Lord, jobs and school and home and different things, friendships and relationships and activities, Lord, we're praying, Lord, that you would play your song through us, that you would get the attention, that you would get the honor, that you would get the glory, that people would look at us and not really see us, but they'd see God is doing something there. There is something honest there. There's something true there. There's something real happening there. Who is this God? What is he doing? May our lives, Lord, cause people to look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, we have prayer available up front for anyone who wants further prayer or has someone on their heart that they want us to agree with in prayer. You're also welcome to fellowship out in the cafe afterwards. Have a great week.